not know what Christy would do, except she would lead us a little bit in worship, but we're going to do more of the same. Because I also felt like the first night, we don't want to make it too long, but the first evening, everybody's coming out of so much turmoil of the week and trying to get ready to leave, and so we just need to quiet our hearts. So I will say some things in between, but it is going to be more of the same. Just trying to keep our eyes on Jesus, because that's what we... This is somehow strange. Turn our eyes to Him and keep our eyes on Him. And that is a challenge. At least for me, that's a challenge. And I think that is for a lot of people a challenge, because there's so many things that are sidetracking us. And I was so happy with this theme when the Lord kind of gave us this theme for this retreat, because I think in the year that we are in, right, election year and everything, this is, and the world situation, and I come from Europe, for those who don't know, I'm from Finland, that's why I have an accent, and there they have a lot of these refugee problems too, you know. And it's really on every level. You can say we don't know what to do, but we have something we can do. Our eyes are on You. And so this is what we will pick up on different aspects during this retreat. Try to go, there will be some teaching, but more I would hope that we can kind of practice it. Because you all get wonderful sermons in your churches, and you know, we are no trained speakers, we just tell you what we have experienced or what the Lord is teaching us, and we just share with you, and together as a family we're going to practice to keep our eyes on the Lord, and maybe some helps that that will help us to do that in the coming times that we don't know what they will bring. But we do know we will need to keep our eyes on the Lord to get through. So this was a perfect little story for Colorado, where we had our retreat a couple of weeks ago. But one of the sisters in Canada gave it to me, and it's it was from a little devotional. And it was talking about how you can make a straight line in the snow. Now, I don't know how much snow you have here in Texas. Sometimes maybe a little bit, but in Colorado it was perfect, because you can imagine every child there would, like we would in Finland, with a lot of snow, try to make a straight line in the snow. Now, do you know how you can do that? If you keep looking down at your feet and putting one foot in front of the other, what's going to happen? It's not going to be straight. It's going to be, because if you just focus on your feet, the amazing thing is you can't make a straight line. I guess you could try it in the sand and see if it applies here too. But you have to, what do you have to do?
Look up.
You have to focus on something in the distance. And if you just focus on that thing in the distance, then the line will be straight. And I think that is a perfect little illustration of what we have to do in our times. Because if we just look right in front of our nose and don't have the big picture, we're losing out on what it's really all about. And even in this world situation, and Sister Georgine is going to lead us in prayer and tomorrow and share some things, you know, you get lost and you get depressed. But we need to keep the focus on the Lord and on the big picture. It's, you know, whatever happens, His plan is going to... it's going to go according to His plan, and we know the end. We don't know what happens in between, but we know the end, and we know that He is the final victor. Mm-hmm. And so we need to always keep turning our eyes to that so that we don't get totally bogged down by what we see and what we hear. And I also thought we have an artist friend, and she paints, or you can say, can you say paint when she does it with a knife, with a
palette knife.
Beautiful, beautiful painting she does. But when you're that close and you have to go with the palette knife, you have to see the whole picture. So she puts a mirror behind, far away or further away, so that she can see the whole picture and can make it beautiful. Because if you're concentrating too much on the detail where you are, you can't get it right. It won't be so beautiful. And maybe you can find some example in your own life that will help you think of what it means to focus. And for me, it will always be, and I think I've shared it with you before, but not all of you were here, is when I grew up, we had a little cabin at the ocean in Finland, and it's a very famous area where there are thousands of small islands, and everything looks the same. And you really don't know where you are because everything looks the same. And then there's a lot of underwater rocks or cliffs or islands coming up, you know. And so you can't just go everywhere. But when we would go out in the boat, my dad would always say, okay, when you come here in this opening, you have to head straight to where you have to. You could see the church tower on the hill far away, and so you had to always aim right at the church tower. And you know, I always think of that, and when I'm out in the boat, when I go visit my family, it's always like the church tower. Yeah, that's then you get home, that's a straight shot there. You can you don't go on any underwater cliffs or anything if you go toward the church tower. But, you know, if you are steering the boat, just a tiny little boat, you know, we didn't have any fancy things. If with the waves coming, sometimes from this side, sometimes from that side, the boat won't stay on track if you just let it go. If you just look around a little bit for a little while and you just enjoy the scenery, you constantly have to correct it so that it stays on the church tower. And, you know, I think that is for our lives, too. And it's not easy. It takes work. Just like with the boat, you had to refocus all the time. You can't let go for a while and say, okay, now 5 minutes, I don't have to do anything. No, then you do. You might head straight toward the underwater rock or something, you know. And so find something in your life that helps you get the picture. And then it's easier to understand what you have to do with your spiritual life. And I want to, because we're going to use this text about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. And tomorrow night especially, we're going to have different applications to kind of following the storyline a little bit, not exactly, but, you know, pick up on it. But I'd like tonight already, so that you get into the story, read the first part of it. And it's from 2 Chronicles 20, and I'll read the first 12 verses. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in, now I can't pronounce these names right, but Hatzatzon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. He feared. Now we could be right in this. This is just like what we read in the paper, all these enemies coming against us. And it's bad. So Jehoshaphat feared. But what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Actually, at one point, really you should pick up in your Bible study groups or something the story of Jehoshaphat and start a few chapters earlier, because it's really fascinating and it could apply so well to our country today. We would follow what Jehoshaphat did, mm-hmm. and even to the point of, you know, he called the people back to God and he put new judges in place, mm-hmm. and had people sent around to proclaim the law of God, you know. That was all the background to this story. So here again, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? Or do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and say, And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. This is just today's news too, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. And now comes our word. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And we will not read more of that story right now, but this is where the word comes from, and it's kind of important that you know that, where the word comes from. And we hope that this little song will really go with you through the year, as many of March's little retreat theme songs have been such a blessing that you just keep singing it through the year. We have sang it for about 2 months now. Mm-hmm. And really this is not just something that March, you know, like if she would be here, she would tell you the story, and how she every time told you the story of, you know, how the God gave her the retreat theme. And if you have a theme like this, you know, you can be sure that, you know, like Sister Georgine and I, who are sharing some things with you, the Lord will bring us through situations where we have to practice it. Because what does it mean to just tell you something, you know, just anybody can say? But if you can share from something that you have experienced yourself, and that what you're going through and how it helped you, then that's how he works. And that's how it worked with March too. I had just told her the retreat theme, like she said, it was an hour before, and she fell. And she broke her shoulder. And she was absolutely helpless. She was alone in the house, mm-hmm. and she had left her phone on the kitchen counter or somewhere.
And please tell them how old she is.
She's 87. But she's not a typical 87. But still, she's 87. And so she had to somehow drag herself to the kitchen, and she couldn't reach the phone either on the mm-hmm. counter. And she said she was just the whole time she was saying, Lord, don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And it was quite traumatic what she had to go through. But she, in the beginning, she always thought she would be at the retreat because she had the testimony to bring to the Lord. But the Lord led it differently. She's not that far yet, but she still has the testimony, and she has been bringing that to all the people she's been in contact with through her hospital stay and her rehab and what she's doing. You know, she's just amazing. But so I don't wish that all of you have to go through something difficult, but when you do have something, and most people have something that's hard and difficult, that you will have your own testimony of what it means. You were in this situation and you had absolutely no idea what to do. But our eyes are on you, and you know, there is not a promise that God will instantly answer and give the solution, but he will carry you through when your eyes are on him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now I you know, I like I said, I'm not like a good speaker, and I find it beautiful when I find some quotations from somebody who had said it so beautifully. So I have a few of these, because I write them down because they speak to my own heart. And some of them are from this old devotion. Some are from Mother Basilea. Some are from the old devotional God Calling. And now there's this new book of Jesus Calling. And so I have some of those in here because they really all kind of want you to, in that personal relationship with the Lord in your everyday situation that we go through. And I was very touched, actually, that this book that I wasn't sure is that more like for women, it's a lady who has written it and all that. And is that, can men really, do they apply that? Do they take it in like a, well, they wouldn't do it like a woman, but will that speak to their hearts? And a couple of years ago, I got my family copy of it. And my father, he just loves it. He just loves to meditate on what this book says. And he says, you can't just read it like that. You have to read it very slow. You read one sentence and then you think about it. And then if you didn't get it, you read it again. Because it's just so much Jesus calling to that personal relationship with you and wanting to be part of your everyday life and really for you to take him in there. So, well, my father is 95 years old, and he, you know, he has time to sit and meditate. But then my nephew, who is in his early 30s with four children, you know, between 12 and 5, I guess, and in the middle of his work and very busy, he writes me and says, it was just right on today again, you know. And so, you know, this is like, it really touched me, and I thought, oh, that's beautiful. That is so beautiful. So we have a few gentlemen here, but I think if my nephew and my father, it means so much to them, I hope it means to you too. So here's my first one. Don't let the impact of the world shatter your thinking or draw you away from focusing on me. This is the Lord speaking. The ultimate challenge is to keep fixing your eyes on me, no matter what is going on around you. When I am central in your thinking, you are able to view circumstances from my perspective. And this is what we need, because we don't see things clearly. We don't see the whole picture, and we don't know all the corners in the road. But just like Christy said, and we should have talked beforehand because you gave my part of my message. It's okay. It works together because we all need to hear things several times before they really go in. And so I thought too, first we need to cleared away from all the other things that take our attention and where our thoughts keep turning to and what is blocking, so that we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, distracting us. And you know, in other retreats, we have had some beautiful themes in our retreats, like one that we had, the retreat of Come Unto Me and I Will Give You Rest. And March had a beautiful song on that. But I don't want to go into that, but it's just this invitation of Jesus to come to Him, and He wants to give rest. I mean, what an invitation is that? We hear it, and it's such a well-known word. Come to Me. But who is saying it? You know, any important person, you might not even get an invitation. But if you do, it has to be set and time and a date, and you have the proper rest, and who knows what all stipulations they are, if you can get in. But Jesus says, come unto Me. And not only come unto me, and I will give you rest. He longs for that. It's not like, come to Me and you can be there, and there are other people, you know, and you can talk with them and they can help you with your problems. No, come to Me and I will give you rest. As a loving Father, this is Mother Basilia and Father of Comfort. As a loving Father, God would like to hold a conversation with you, His child. He is waiting for you to come to Him in prayer, to pour out your heart to Him. To pour it out. There is one of these kings in this Chronicles of Kings, you know, where it says he went to the temple and spread out the letter that he got from the enemy, and spread it out before the Lord. Do that. Spread it out. Pour out your heart. Tell Him everything. It just helps to pour it out. He is waiting for you to hear what He has to say. He's waiting to hear you pour out your heart, and then for you waiting what He has to say to you. Only these quiet times apart with God, these conversations of love, can make you strong to overcome your daily problems. Talk with Jesus about every aspect of your life, of your day, including your feelings. A successful day is one in which you have stayed in touch with God, even if many things remain undone at the end of the day. And that's a different perspective. Do not let your to-do list become an idol directing your life. This is from Jesus calling. And then I love this theme that we had once. Come. Jesus saying, come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place. We need to get away to that quiet place, because there's so much noise going on around us. And you know, nowadays when you have this convenience of cell phones and all these things, they find you everywhere and anywhere, you know. And it's much harder to just turn it off. We get addicted to them. This is from Jesus calling. Time with Me cannot be rushed. When you are in a hurry, your mind flitters back and forth between Me and the tasks ahead of you. Now, who knows about that? I do. I have to always have paper and pen next to me, you know, to write down so I can just put it away then and don't have to think of it and remember it. It's just a very challenging thing. Push back the demands pressing in on you. Create a safe space around you. You know, even Jesus had to be alone. He had to send, we talked about that one year, He had to send the crowds away. And what did we send away? That's the only thing I remember from this sermon that this German bishop was talking about this. What do we send away in order to pray or in order to have some time with the Lord? We have to be willing to send things away. Whatever it is, you know, say no to people, turn the phone off. Could be a lot of different things. And then in the as I was preparing for the retreat, just the daily text was about the blind man who was healed, and it was a very moving text, and he was healed and everything. But there was one detail that just spoke so much to me, and it is here in Mark 7, verse 33. And it starts at 32. There some people brought to Jesus a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. And that's, see, all wonderful, and he was healed. But, and the beginning of verse 33 says, after he, that is Jesus, after he took him aside. Mm-hmm. And then the next chapter, Mark, there's again a healing taking place. Oh, that's the blind man. This was the deaf man. And there it says, that's 8:23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And you know, I just think there is like Jesus is saying it in different ways. Come to me, come away, send things away. He took him outside the village. He took him aside. Because he needs our full attention, so that there is not all these other things that keep looking this, looking here, and looking there, and looking there, you know? I just happened to find this little, I had it somewhere in my notes. It's from somebody, Robert Boyd Munger, and it's My Heart, Christ's Home. And this is a section from The Living Room. And he had accepted Jesus, and so and he showed his house. I guess he invited him to his house. And then he says here, Jesus says, "This is indeed a delightful room. Now we're in the living room. Let us come here often. It is secluded and quiet, and we can have fellowship here together." So this young man, he was thrilled. He was a new Christian, and just to think about it, that Jesus would spend some time with him in his home. And Jesus promised that he would be there every morning. He said, "Meet me here, and we will start the day together." So morning after morning, he would come downstairs to the living room, and Jesus would take a book from the Bible, and they would read a section together, and they would talk about it, and then he would go to his work. However, he says, little by little, under the pressure of many responsibilities, this time began to be shortened. "I'm not sure why," he said. "I thought I was too busy to spend time with Christ. This was not intentional, you understand. It just happened that way." And that's a lot of these things just happened that way, because we never planned it that way. We're just... So I... let's see here. "Finally, not only was the time shortened, but I began to miss days now and then." And then one day he came running down stairs, eager to be on his way, and he noticed that the living room door was open. And he thought, "Oh my, I've been neglecting him. I invited him, and I have neglected. I'm just rushing sometimes out directly to work." So he stopped and went in. With downcast glance, I said, "Master, forgive me. Have you been here all these mornings?" "Yes," he said. "I told you I would be here every morning to meet with you. Remember, I love you. I have redeemed you at great cost. I value your fellowship. Even if you cannot keep the quiet time for your own sake, do it for mine. And he said this really changed his life. And there are some of us who maybe have more time, others are really rushing off to a lot of things, and a lot of people have a lot to accomplish, and a lot of things that are pulling on them. And we are in the same situation. You maybe think that it's easy for us to, we just sit and pray. Some people think we pray all day long. But unfortunately, work has to be done. And anybody who's worked in ministry know that there's a lot of different people who want something from you. And it's easy to see the need. And maybe forgot the most important things. And here is a quote for from Father of Comfort about our work. There is very little accomplished in the busy affairs of everyday life that bring blessing. You know, we can do a lot, but does it bring eternal blessing? That's the thing. Everything that is important and of eternal importance grows out of time apart with God. And this is from God Calling. My work in the world has been hindered by work, work, work. Do not seek to work for me. Never make opportunities. Live with me and for me. You know, like somebody said, we're often more human doings than human beings. We just think that the value is in doing some things. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, I wait in many a heart, but so few retire into that inner place of the being to commune with me. I am actually at the center of every man's being, but distracted with the things of the sense life, he finds me not. Each moment you can choose to practice Jesus' presence or to practice the presence of your problems. Mm. I mean, what a choice, but sometimes we just choose to think of our problems.
Would you read that again?
Each moment you can choose to practice Jesus' presence or to practice the presence of problems. And now I would like us to sing from the other yellow sheet you have. There is a song here that says, You Know My Burdens. And Christine kind of already did this a little bit, but I'd like to just take maybe 1 minute in silence so that you really think of something particular here. Know My Burdens, that you would now, or your suffering, or whatever it is that keeps your mind going, your thoughts circling around, that we lay those things, give them over to the Lord, so that the way is open and we can turn our eyes to Him. And this is one of the sisters who sang it, but I think some of us know it, so I think we can do it. Do you want to sing here? We can play it through. That's good. Then you can think during that time.
Okay,
of.
I'll be right.
Thank you.
for me at least, you know, work is one thing that is hard to, or you have to conquer, so it doesn't distract you. And another thing is maybe for someone else here too, is that you want to take that quiet time and you want for the Lord to come near, and then you feel nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, it just... And sometimes that's where I think, oh, it's better I just go and do something. You know, nothing is happening here. I don't feel anything. And, you know, and it's very important to be faithful in those times. And I just heard a testimony of a woman who was so, or I just, somebody told me a little bit of a testimony that he had heard about this woman who was so depressed that she couldn't even get out of bed anymore. And then she started saying the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Until she had enough energy to get out of bed and was, you know, this is something we can all do. And if we think, oh, you know, my prayers don't even reach the ceiling, it's just so hard and or your thoughts are going everywhere. To say the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And you can say it with, there is power in the name of Jesus, and all these other thoughts go away, or Jesus, I love you. I want to love you. I don't feel anything. But I do want to, and I want to be faithful to you. I want to give you something. I want to give my little faithfulness in this little thing that I stay here with you, even when I don't have anything from it, you know. He does. And I'm sure you all have heard that little story that many have. I have heard different versions of it, of this worker. His name was Jim. And every day at lunch hour, he would pass by this church, and he would just go up to the altar and kneel at the altar, and all he said was, Jesus, this is Jim. And then he would leave again. And then, you know the story?
Mm-mm.
And then, you know, he got sick and he was in the hospital. And now he couldn't go to church. But then he was telling, I can't remember who he told, somebody was saying, it's something interesting happening here, and he's just so special, and you know, there's just a special atmosphere in this room, and all the nurses love to come in there. And then, I can't remember who was told the story, he said, yes, the strangest thing is happening. Every day at noon, there is this man who comes and he stands at the foot of my bed and he says, Jim, this is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sweet. Just a faithful little thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he couldn't come to Jesus in the church, Jesus came to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I read about George Matheson. He said, practice the solemn God and I refrain. Just keep, when you know you feel like you're all alone and nobody understands and all these things, just say, God and I. And he was the one from Andrew Murray. Every believer must have his time alone with God. Oh, the thought to have God alone to myself and to know that God has me all alone to himself.
Mm.
Now, those are powerful statements. I don't really... I just found this 2 days ago. But, you know, to go into your quiet time and think that God has you all to himself. You know, just like you want him to be there for you, you want to be there for him. And it's really not all about us. And for those who have read Marvelous autobiography, she tells of the time in her life when she kind of came to realize that she had been neglecting Jesus and the claim on her love, or on our love. And she writes, Jesus showed me how much he suffers because we always have time for one another, but seldom for him. I could almost hear him lamenting, "Who has time for me?" Time and again we find that people, things, or our service for him have grown more important to us than the Lord himself. And, you know, if now you start kind of locking your door, spiritually locking your door, you have to lock it to be around. But, you know, you can imagine that all those friends who used to come all the time, you know, they get upset that they can't come at any time now, you know. Uh-huh. But just reserve some place, some time for Jesus alone. And I know we read about the mother who they had only a one-room house or something. So her time was in the rocking chair, and she put her apron over her head, and every child knew you cannot disturb her. You know, and it doesn't have to mean you have to have 2-3 hours. Just reserve a little space to connect with him again. And, it's getting a little late here. You know, sometimes the Lord also draws us into that desert place to refine us, to test our love. Because as long as everything feels wonderful and we're fulfilled, what does that show anything? But he wants to bring us into the desert to purify that love and to make it, to see really how much we're worth to him, that he is worth to us. Or, this one says, because God could not get our attention in the busy life. Maybe we can sing, "This is a real prayer. May my heart be a quiet sanctuary." And for these days too, you know, you're all come from busy lives, and we have a lot of program going on here too, but there is time in between, and that's why we try not to do the evening session so long. We also give you time in the morning, because it's much more important that you meet with Jesus than that you meet with us here or anything, you know. That's what we have been praying, and this week we had a prayer evening with the sisters, and the whole hour we prayed for the retreat. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is that Jesus is here, and he, you know, if he can minister, we can say whatever we say, you know, but if Jesus ministers to you, he knows everybody's heart, everybody's need, and we all prayed through the every name, and so you are all prayed for, and you know, that's really that. So we want to make a little sanctuary, make our hearts a little sanctuary where he can come at any time when he would like to. Mm-hmm. It's on the little yellow sheet on the inside, like page 2. There's no page number, but just open it up.
And I pray, Lord.
quotes from God Calling. She's saying, rest in me, seek this evening time just to be with me. Do not feel you have failed if sometimes I ask you only to rest in my presence. Sometimes I may not speak. I may ask you merely to wait in my presence to know that I am with you. Think of the multitudes who thronged me when I was on earth, all eager for something, eager to be healed or taught or fed. Think as I supplied their many wants and granted their manifold requests what it meant to me to find amid the crowd one or two who followed me just to be near me, just to dwell in my presence. Comfort me a while by letting me know that you would seek me just to dwell in my presence, to be near me, not for teaching, not for material gain, not even for a message, but for me. So maybe Jesus would ask each one of us, can we spend some time together tonight? For we have someone to whom we may always look.
His name is Jesus. Jesus, whose love never ceases. Jesus, whose hands hold everything together. Jesus, whose love is always victorious. Jesus, who says, I make all things new, including you. I will make you new. Jesus, to whom I look when I see nothing but sin in myself. Jesus, the Redeemer, who breaks the chains of sin. Jesus, who perfects all that concerns me, and who will bring me to the goal. Oh, Jesus, I behold you, and my heart is touched and warmed. Oh, Jesus, I behold you, and I can believe again. Oh, Jesus, I behold you, and all despair vanishes. Oh, Jesus, I behold you, my beloved man of sorrows. Oh, Jesus, I behold you, my heavenly bridegroom, and my sad heart is comforted. My doubting heart grows strong in faith. My sin-laden heart is healed by you, by your love, your forgiveness, by the blood of the Lamb.
I think we'll close and sing this the second verse of May My Heart Be a Quiet Sanctuary again, and then we'll just go and have some time with him and pour out our heart and spread out all the things, and then listen. Mm-hmm. And if you don't hear anything, I just want you to dwell in his presence. Remember, mm-hmm. he doesn't always speak, but it means a lot to him if we just want to be with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with Open My Heart's Eyes, or just start with...
We'll start with the refrain, and then okay. We'll do the second verse.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, thank you that you long to abide with us, that you long so much to come to each one of us. And we ask you tonight that you would quiet our hearts, that we can hear you, that we can feel your presence even without feeling anything. Lord, draw near to each one. You see what burdens each one's heart. You know it. Come and speak comfort, speak encouragement, and draw us all closer to yourself, and lift our eyes to see you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.